hear us?
Hello?
Hello?
Hello, I can barely hear you.
Oh, okay. I'll turn up the mics here. Is that better?
Yeah, that's a little better.
Okay. Hi, Angel. How you doing?
Hi, how are you?
Doing good. Thanks for calling into WHRW.
Well, thank you.
How about you tell folks where you're from and what's going on down there?
Okay. We're down here in Clearville, Pennsylvania. And my husband's on the other line, Wayne Smith.
Hi, Wayne.
Howdy.
He actually could probably hear you better than I can. We live down here where they've taken production wells and turned them into storage wells.
And that's through eminent domain, correct?
Well, they didn't do eminent domain on us, but the other landowners, they did.
Wow. Okay, what did they do with you?
With us, they first filed papers on us, and then they dropped them, and then, which was another expense for us. And then we started having our water problems and our animals dying.
Wow. The animals started dying after the drilling happened, right?
Yeah, after they shut down the production wells.
After they shut down the production wells. And can you tell me a little bit about the livestock that died?
We lost a horse, and we lost two cows,
wow,
four calves, three dogs, all of our chickens,
wow,
except for one rooster. We still have one rooster, and he's not looking too good.
Oh, no. And you mentioned that your neighbors have also had livestock dying, too.
Yes, they did. They had, we didn't find out until later that it was a lot more of us that lost cattle than actually said. So they started coming out and saying, yeah, we lost, the one guy, he actually lost, I think it was...
Holstein heifers.
Yeah.
Oh, my. Okay, so, and that's from contamination of the streams and the springs.
Well,
yes?
We don't know if it all came from contamination of the springs, or we just found out we had arsenic in our water in 07, but
wow,
we don't know what fracking fluids they used in drilling these wells, and it getting pushed back up in the water table. That's what, you know, because when they shut the wells in, our artesian well ran over top of the casing for like 6 months. That's when we started losing cattle.
Okay, so I've also heard from someone from Ron Goulet. He mentioned that you hung on to one of the cows for an autopsy, right?
Yes, well, neighbors had lost dairy cows. He took one up for autopsy, yeah. He had tests for arsenic, but we don't know what else to test for, and he didn't have his well tested, you know, for his, before you see he had arsenic in his well before he took and got tested.
Gosh, what a mess. I'm sure that, you know, farmers that are listening out here in New York, you know, are taking this, you know, pretty heavily, because...
Yeah, the way that we understand as far as getting a carcass tested is that you can't just take it to the lab and say, test it. You've got to give them
ideas.
What to test for and what do you think?
Mm-hmm.
Is basically, so the normal person takes their animal and say, okay, you know, this cow had this reaction, and it died. They're going to say, okay, well, what do you want to test it for? And most people don't know. They don't know, you know, what to test for as far as fracking fluids or you know, anything.
Right.
So it's like a guess.
And it could be a combination of different chemicals and heavy metals. And
right.
It makes it even
it
more
difficult. It goes up in the air, comes down to the ground, it eventually works into the water table, or it get it off the grass, you know, they're eating in the fields, or hay we made in the fields, or anything, you know. It could be airborne, too.
Yeah, especially considering what just recently happened around y'all over on August 23rd, you had a blowout at the CNG facility, which sprayed, you know, oil all over your fields and all the fields surrounding the compressor station. Can you tell us more about that?
Yeah, we actually just got the paper, official paper that this company released to DEP saying that they released 967,000 standard cubic feet of natural gas.
Whoa.
With various motor and lubricating oils.
And that's scary because a lot of motor oils and lubricating oils include TCE, which is a known causer of cancer, especially for kids, causing leukemia. And what type of precautions did they take after this blowout happened?
Well, they were very, very slow in responding.
Tell me about how slow.
Well, it happened August 23rd.
And Sunday afternoon.
It was Sunday afternoon. Me and my husband were actually sitting on the porch, and we heard this loud boom. And we just sat here on the porch. We weren't too sure what it was, and then this alarm started going off, and we actually went over and took some video of the alarm, and then we did a loop around the block and came back here and didn't really think about it. Just, you know, it seems like that thing's always making some kind of noise. And then Monday evening about 10 o'clock, one of the neighbors called me that was frantic because this oil was all over their property, and it actually rained on their kids.
Oh, my.
And they didn't know who to call, what to do. And I didn't either.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So we started giving, you know, call this number, call that number, you know, and trying to get them to at least the right place. And then Tuesday, we had an airplane circle on our property. And it was like, I don't know, I think I lost count after the 10th trip. It was flying really low. And then that late afternoon, I called the gas company, and I was like, okay, what happened at the compressor station? Because, you know, people's got oil on their stuff and on our vehicles. So, you know, what happened?
Mm-hmm.
And his reply was, what do you mean what happened? Well, why do we have oil all over our vehicles and stuff? And he said, well, I'll be out. You're going to be home? And I said, yeah, sure. He never showed up until the
Wednesday evening
around, what, 6?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
In the evening. And took some pictures and said, yeah, you got it, and left. Came back Saturday and said, nope, no, you didn't. Didn't get it.
Easy.
Even though we have, you know, we have the pictures of our property and the oil stuff, whatever it is,
mm-hmm.
on our vehicles, on our equipment, on our roofs.
Sprayed it all of our blueberry bushes. I mean, got 550 blueberry bushes out here. I mean, it just covered everything. Hay fields and all, we just mowed them down. We have to go back in the ground, but it eventually worked down in the water table, you know. And what should I do to the water table? Oh, yeah, look forward to.
One second, you're listening to WHRW 90.5 FM Binghamton. This is The Point with Vince and Nastasha, so continue, Nastasha.
Now, the DEP did come out, and they did a test-in of your water after the CNG explosion happened.
Yes.
How long after that did they come out? So the company came out about 3.5 days later and didn't really do anything, didn't take any tests. Then came out about six days later, told you that nothing had happened around you. And then the DEP came out about how long after that Sunday, August 23rd?
DEP came out, what, was it Friday?
It was on Friday, just did an observation. Yeah.
Yeah, he wanted our pictures and show him our droplets. And
we did give him some of them.
Yeah, we gave him some pictures and stuff, and he left. And then he called, I think it was Monday, and said he wanted to come do a VOC test. And it was like, okay, you know, sure. Mm-hmm. So they came and they did a VOC test, and they were explaining that, you know, they could, with the VOC test, it was so
high tech.
Yeah, they couldn't even stop and fill their vehicle up with gas because of doing this test. So, you know, we never thought about it because we've had VOC tests. And they did the test. They actually needed directions to the other lady that lives on the other side of the compressor station because they were going to go do a VOC test on her place. So my husband took them over, and then he came home, and we got the results back, and it's showing toluene.
Uh-oh.
And I asked DEP, I was like, okay, you know, what's going on with this? You know, and they're like, well, you know, it's low, but it's there. Okay, well, it wasn't there before. And she said, well, I said, do you think we need to run another test? And she said, no. She said, because you did a blank test. They bring a blank test along, which is just
distilled water.
And that showed toluene too. Well, I said, well, where is it coming from? She said, well, it could have got infected by the lab, at the lab, or from the well, the airspace around your well. Well, last time I looked, my wellhead was outside.
Yeah.
So if that's not good.
Mm-mm.
Is that not telling you that it's most likely in the air?
Mm-hmm.
If it's not in the water, if they're going to tell us no, it's not in the water, then I would say air.
That's extremely scary that a week later it's still in the air at amounts enough for when that control sample top is open for them to pour the distilled water in there, that enough tooling got in there for their test to show up.
Right.
Makes it seem like, you know, folks around these CNG compressor stations might want to be walking around with a gas mask.
With air mask and gloves and not touching anything.
Yeah. Not to mention, you can't. How do you feel about your food? Did you have to, you know, burn all your crops, or what'd y'all do?
Well, our whole garden. We couldn't even use our whole garden. They told us when the gas company came in here and said, "Yeah, you got it," and handed us a paper. Don't eat your vegetables. And we had a pretty nice garden this year. We missed the tomato blight, and Our tomatoes were really nice. And
she missed y'all.
It was like, well, you know, they gave you a paperwork, don't eat it. So then after that, after they came back and said, no, you didn't get it, they gave you another paper that said, wash your vegetables with soap and water.
Mm.
Well, I don't think that washing a tomato with soap and water is really healthy.
Mm-mm.
To me, I would think that it would just draw in, just like the oil would.
How are you guys feeling over there, living where you're at and being on your land? Do you think you can sell it and get out?
Well, we can't really sell it. Who would buy it? Knowing that, you know, with the water and with the air, and I think that would kind of put the property value really low.
Mm-hmm. What do you suggest for folks out here in New York that are just starting to have the natural gas coming up? There's a ban on horizontal hydrofracking of the Marcellus Shale, so we up here haven't gotten the big storm like you down there in southwestern and south central PA have gotten. What do you suggest?
Test your water.
Test your water, okay.
When you get your water tested and know what's in your water before they even start. And don't share your water report. Because it seems like they take your water reports, DEP, and hands them to the gas company and says, here you go.
Yeah, tell me about that. You had an experience with that. Can you go into that a little bit?
Yeah, they're supposed to do a pre and a post test before they drill and after they drill.
And this is the industry, right? Whatever company?
Okay. And they went through the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission and said, you know, hey, we are going to do this pre and this post water test on properties. And I think it's like a 1,000 feet away from the drilling that they'll do this. Well, we're over, they're saying that we're over the 1,000 feet, but they were going to go ahead and add us into the water plan anyway, which would be the pre and the post. Well, they came and they did the pre-test. And then when it came, what we end up doing is when the gas company takes a water test, we have our private lab do a water test too, because we don't trust the gas company's, you know, results.
Mm-hmm.
And so they were supposed to come back and do the post test. So we went ahead and we called our private lab and we said, okay, well, let's go ahead and get our water tested. And that way, when they came back and did their post test, we would have something to compare it to. Well, DEP came out and we gave, mistakenly, our what was going to be our post test for that we paid for, gave it to DEP, and they turned around and gave it to the gas company, and then the gas company took our water test that we paid for and said, well, we're going to just use the landowner's test for our post test, so we don't have to do one on your property now. But our post our test that we took was only two locations. The pre-test was four locations. And the one that they want to use DEP's too, and DEP's was actually, she didn't bypass the filters when she tested. So the filters were in, we have $11,000 water units so we can have drinking water, and she didn't bypass the filters. She took the test through the filters.
Yeah, so just took it out of the tap in your kitchen that already goes through those filters. So
right.
It filtered out all the toxins already.
Yes. So at least we know that our water system's working.
Right, but you don't know whether how contaminated the water going into your water.
Right.
Water system.
Right, because she didn't bypass any of the filters.
And so essentially you would have to be, stuck in legislation for long periods of time after your water contamination is proven.
Which is very hard. We've been down this road since 2007.
And you got methane, too.
We got methane, and we've did this since 2007, and when we called DEP, because we were trying to track everything down to try to find out why these cattle were dying. And DEP came out, but they don't recognize arsenic, or at that time they didn't do any fracking fluids, nothing. They tested iron, manganese, and pH and total dissolved solids. Well, to me, that's not a thorough test.
Nope.
And the only thing that DEP would tell me was I needed a smoking gun. And that was his words, you need a smoking gun. And I was like, okay, my smoking gun would be the gas company to pull in the driveway and say, yeah, we did it. That's not going to happen.
No, and that's not protection from the Department of Environmental Protection if they're relying on some worker to say, yeah, there was this kind of accident. Those workers can get killed if they come out and say that.
DEP serves too close to Maryland, too. They got to travel way across the country to get here.
Yeah, they don't have any grounds in these areas because most of the workers are from Texas, from Colorado. They're all from out of state. So, can you talk a little bit about having your grandchildren over when there's a spike of arsenic in your water?
Yeah, we didn't know that our arsenic spiked. We didn't know that, and our grandchildren came down and The parents went away, so we got the grandkids spent the night, and we do our normal. You get up in the morning, you brush your teeth, and you wash your face and your hands, and at night we get in the tub, or, kids are messy, so you're always washing their face.
Mm-hmm.
And our little ones, brushing your teeth four or five times a day is wonderful, and it's like, yeah, go ahead, And then we got some... We had a water test come back, and from when the gas company did their pre-test, and our arsenic was at the point where you shouldn't even been washing in it, you shouldn't have been brushing your teeth in it, you definitely shouldn't have been drinking it. And I think the saddest part was is when they when the gas company brought that report to me, and they handed me the report and they left. And I'm looking at this report, okay, and they're saying, you know, here's a report. There's nothing wrong with your water. Have a good day. And they leave. And then I actually took the test into our private lab, and I was like, okay, you know, break us down for me. And she was like, don't wash in it. Don't brush your teeth. And you really don't want to be drinking it. Well, so if the landowners are going to rely on the gas company to take a water report, and you don't understand your water report, get it somewhere that somebody does, because you're making a very big mistake by relying on the gas company to say, there's nothing wrong with your water, because we've heard that. There's nothing wrong with your water. Go ahead and drink it. Go ahead and do what you got to do when there's an arsenic level there that you're not even supposed to get on your skin. And I that's sad. I've got three grandchildren, and I beat myself up for, I think, 3 months after that, thinking, oh, my gosh, I just killed my grandchildren. You know, what did I do to my grandchildren?
Mm-hmm. What company was responsible, the gas company that was responsible in that area?
It's called Steckman Ridge, which is the parent company is Spectra Energy.
And what have your neighbors been saying? Have you heard similar things coming from your neighbors' land and people around you?
Some and some not. A lot of people are they're like
old fashioned. I mean, you know,
testing their water is something that they're older people and they think, well, you know, we've drank it for years, we're fine, you know, and the neighbors next door, matter of fact, they went to go visit their relatives, and then they came home and started drinking their water again, and now they're all sick. And her comment this morning was, you think it's the water? Jay, probably.
Can you tell me about what type of symptoms they're showing?
It's like, upset stomach,
diarrhea,
just
headaches. You get headaches right here, good bad.
Yeah, headaches are just like all the time.
Really? Gosh. Okay.
But yeah, a lot of people. The health department told us when we first found out we had arsenic in our water to notify your neighbors. That's what we were told to do by the health department. Notify your neighbors and get your neighbors aware. So we did. I mean, we did the responsible thing. We said, look, our water tested for arsenic, and we have arsenic, and, you know, it might be a good idea for you guys to get your water checked into. And half of them looked at us like we were nuts. The other ones that took our advice, they found a little bit of arsenic, but it was enough that... like the one lady, she has she's on dialysis, and you know, she went ahead and got her water fixed right away. And now the people that said, you know, were crazy, actually, like a year or so later, they called us and was like, "Oh my gosh, our water, what do we do? What do we do?" You know, get it tested. So the ones that thought we were nuts are actually the first ones to pick up the phone and say, "Help me."
I wish land worked without good water, though. That's your main ingredient you need. You need water to live.
You might as well live in a desert.
Yeah, you bring up a really good point, Wayne. It's almost like you're trading natural gas for water.
And our body's made of, what, 70% of water?
Yeah, I think
we need water.
Yeah.
And we raise our own beef cattle for, you know, in the food chain, and we process our own for ourselves, and what's that doing to us, you know, with the fluids and the meat, because it's like your body, it's got so much water in the meat too, so what are we getting there?
Yeah, and a lot of those chemicals, it's bioaccumulation, where the cow eats the grass that has all the chemicals in it, and the cow also drinks the water that has all the chemicals in it, and then the cow breathes in the air that has all the chemicals in it, and it, and all the chemicals combine and saturate the cow, and then the cow, and then you eat the cow, which has gotten the chemicals from three different sources,
right.
And then you're eating that all kind of combined together.
Right. You got milk cows, I mean, because into the food chain and milk, I mean, you know, it, you get it all the way down the line. I mean,
yep.
Dairy farmers, beef cattle,
mm-hmm.
you know, your eggs, chickens, anything in the area.
Yep.
You know, it's just, it's a mess.
Yeah, it is. It makes it for folks who are working to be self-sufficient or, you know, working to just grow their own food. And
yeah, we grow our own food, try to, I mean, and stuff. Even the deer in the woods, I mean, you won't see as many deer as we used to. And, you know, deer eats grass, leaves, and nuts and stuff off the trees. So that'd be the same thing with the animals, too, wild animals.
Mm-hmm. You noticing also anything with the fish around there?
Now.
The fish in the streams, are you noticing any changes?
Well, we had in bass in the spring, in the creek here in the spring. Methane blue substance, like a soap suds, come down the creek. He came and tested it twice. And so we had it, and we had it tested between times. And DEP went around to different creeks and seen where his foam piled up along the edge of the creek banks and stuff. And said, oh, just somebody washing clothes up the creek, you know. Well, I mean, our creek's about 300 feet away from the barn, up and down from the barn. I first noticed it, told my wife, and I said, yeah, we got so-and-so's down in the creek. What's that from? And DEP never followed back on it. I mean, they just blowed it off. Mm-hmm. And that's why we had, after the so-and-so's settled down, that we had an oil sheen on the creek.
Uh-oh.
And DEP was here. They tested the aqua life, like the fish and stuff,
mm-hmm.
and the creek, and they walked around the corner and took a landing net and split the oil sheen a little bit, and it sucked right back together like glue. He said, that's petroleum. I'll get oil and gas division down here. And they ain't showed up yet. It's done washed away. So what do we do? We're like beating our heads up against a wall. For what? To try to protect? If a poor farmer would be doing all this stuff, he'd be hung up to dry. But DEP and these gas companies, it seems like they get away with anything. But a poor farmer wants to save the bay. They're harmed by it. The farmer needs to save the bay, fertilize her stuff. But they ought to start at home with the gas companies and the polluters. That's really doing it, not the farmer. Am I right?
Yep, you're right.
Well, if we got rid of all the farmers, we would have to go back to teach our kids that really stuff comes from the store.
Yeah, but, you know, it doesn't come from the store. It comes
right.
from the land. And
right.
once you start polluting that land, you know, you got polluted food, and, you know, then you don't have any food to put in the supermarkets because the land, you know, can't hold any animals because the animals start dying. And then the people start dying, too.
Yeah. And that's what I think that really I got to the point where it's like, is that what needs to happen? Do we need to die to get the DEP and the gas company to realize that there's a problem? But then you look at then how they would look at it, and they're like, well, you know, it's progress, you know.
We need clean energy.
We need clean energy. What's some life compared to clean energy?
Yeah, many, and I know the DEP meeting that me and Nastasha went to, they were actually advising people in there that they didn't think that the drilling or anything relating to the drilling was a big problem, but these are people that live in the city, such as Williamsport or in the capital, where they're not necessarily witnessing the harmful effects of the drilling firsthand, and these are people that are making these bold statements like, yeah, I encourage you, you know, I don't see this as a big problem at all, and so this is... It's a very, very scary thing when these public officials who are seen as the authority on your health and on the environment are saying things without any sort of information, without any sort of experience as to, like, what being in contact with the land.
Right.
Yeah, and all they have in their mind is the natural gas that they need to, you know, heat their homes in the city and to be able to go to the store and buy the food that comes from. They don't know where. They just want to live their lifestyle, and they don't realize who they're actually affecting and that they're affecting, you know, those means that give them food. And
right. I say we don't use no chemicals or nothing, or no sprays or nothing on our farm.
That's awesome.
Our blueberries, we don't spray them with anything. That's what we wanted. We want them all natural, our blueberries, you know, because our grandkids go out and they'll pick them off by the handfuls and eat them. And other people come with kids, pick blueberries and stuff. We don't want to tell them they've got to spray them. We got to wash them first, and we don't spray them. That's, you know, that's what we wanted.
And you don't need to, do you? I mean, have you had problems where you need to be spraying your food to make it grow?
Well, we bought the farm almost 14 years ago. It had all kinds of spray and stuff in the barn and stuff. And we got rid of it. We said we don't want it, you know. We put fertilizer and lime on our hay fields.
Mm-hmm.
Don't get me wrong there, but as far as the blueberry stuff, we don't use no chemicals or nothing on them because we put them in the freezer, and the grandkids, they, like I say, people come here, their kids and stuff, we tell them, go ahead and eat, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Enjoy yourself. That's what they're there for.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we like to talk to people, you know. They say about the breeze and stuff, you know. I mean, they like coming back, you know. Their grandkids come back.
Well, now you wonder who's going to come back, though, after the
compressor
right. station.
The blow-off.
With the blow-off. That's what we were thinking about, too. You know, how many people really want to come back and pick berries from a plant that's been exposed to Lord knows what?
Right.
Yeah, it could be coated with toluene and God knows what else, TC.
Right, because the last thing we would ever want to do is make somebody else sick.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems like with the gas company, it's like they don't care. They just don't care. I mean, we bought this property and it was to, you know, raise our beef cattle and have our blueberry bushes and was one of our dreams. And then it's like our dream just got turned completely upside down.
Ain't right at all. Ain't right. It's as if there's no freedom. You know, you don't have a choice in what's happening to you.
Well, these gas companies like to come in and then just start pitting neighbors against each other.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've lived here for, you live in a community for, you know, 13 years, and the best thing you can do is to know your neighbor. Get to know your neighbor really good, all your neighbors, because the first thing when the gas company comes in is they're going to start pitting you against each other. And if you know your neighbor and, you know, they can't do that. They can't pit you because you'll know your neighbor. The tactics that these gas companies use really should be illegal. They really should.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't sign up, we just suck the gas up underneath your feet. Yeah, it's first thing they said, you know, to come to the table with the lease, either sign it or we'll suck the gas up underneath your feet, you won't get nothing. That's the way they put it.
Or all your neighbors did, you might as well too. One of them tactics.
Yep. Yep. Over in Oklahoma, they're actually taking the farm of a man who owns 80 acres and... The federal government is filing eminent domain on that, and there's going to be drilling on his property because he didn't want his land to be drilled on, and so the federal government's taking that away. And that's happening up here in New York too. You know, it's something where it's called compulsory integration, and if 60% of the landowners in a certain block of acres, like 640 acres, if 60% of the landowners there, you know, sign a lease, then the other 40%, you know, are just integrated into it. They're going to have drilling too, and
that's wrong.
Yeah, it is wrong. It is
the
wrong.
United States, not, you know, we're not a foreign country. We're just the United States, you know.
Yeah, it sure ain't what we've been raised to believe our country's all about.
Yeah, I mean, I was raised on a farm and stuff for all my life and stuff, and my dad and stuff. I mean, we worked hard for all our lives to get what we had, and a gas company come in and left. Just like a piece of dirt, you know, stump you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, squish you like a bug. It's not right. But I told her we ain't dead yet, so we ain't done fighting.
Mm-hmm.
We're gonna fight till we're done.
Well, you have to, because it's your home. that's you're raised to find home, and you get old enough out on your own, you find home, and then you have a company to come in and mess your water up and release toxic substance and do what they please, and it's your home. You're the one that has all the feeling for your property, and they don't care. It's just another job.
You got the bills. You got the tax bills and insurance and all that stuff.
You all keep on fighting the good fight. Well, we admire what you're doing and appreciate what you're doing out there and sharing your story with folks out here in New York so that they can better prepare themselves and make sure that this destruction stops, and you know, we all stand in solidarity with you over there.
So, well, I wish New York well, and get your water tested. Study. Know
yeah,
what you're doing.
Get a good attorney to get your right, you know, the things that are right first before you sign the release and stuff. I mean, well, Mike Ferry is up on that now pretty good, and there's a couple of homes probably up that way as good in it. Get some good advice with the test for and all that kind of stuff before they even stick the first bit in the hole or in the ground. We hear so many stories at the top, on top of stories.
Do you ever wish that you didn't sign?
Every day.
Yeah, we're afraid to go away from the farm because the only when a cow might come through the fence, crashing through the fence or something, and drop over. So we've been locked into the farm since 07. To get away, you got to get back right away. You know, it's always on your mind.
And we never travel together. One goes, and then if the other one needs to go, then that one goes. I admire people that they go to town, and you see that the husband and wife are at the grocery store or in Walmart or something like that. And when I go to town, it's by myself. And when he goes to town, it's by himself. So it's not like the only thing that we really do together is here at the farm.
So you don't get much time to relax.
No, because once this started, it's been, you kind of have like maybe 10 minutes out of a week to call your family and say, hey, I'm still alive. I'm just, you know, really trying to learn this or learn that or make sure I'm going the right way on this. And they're like, okay, you know. So the family outings disappeared. If your family wants to see you, they actually have to come here because you just don't ever know when you pull out that driveway what's going to happen here next. You know, is there going to be another explosion?
Can't trust the gas company to tell you. I mean,
they're not going to tell you. If we weren't here that day, we would have never known.
Well, thank you, Angel and Wayne, for calling in. Is there anything else you wanted to get on the air? Any last thoughts or anything?
Well, thank you for having us, and we wish everybody well, and hope that...
Well, we've got videos on YouTube. If somebody wants to see what we're going through, there's a couple videos on YouTube down this way.
What can they type in to search or
Clearville.
To find it? Clearville?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
Well, we really appreciate it. It was our honor to have you as guest, and it was really great talking with you.
Sending our hearts out to you.
Thank you so much.
All right.
You have a great day.
You too.
Okay, bye.
Bye.